Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Damn.
This is Rob Bell, and this is Rob's Rant. Welcome to the Rob's Rant Show live on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome all of my listeners and thank you for taking the time out of your busy Sunday afternoon to join me for this very important show. Today we're going to be discussing the police and the black community, and in the wake of the recent events of the not guilty verdict of Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer Betty Shelby and the shooting and killing of Jordan Edwards by former Bow Springs, Texas police officer Roy Oliver, the conversation of police in the black community is a pertinent and viable conversation to have. Today we will discuss why these events continue to occur in the black community and what, if anything, we can do about preventing them in the future. As a former police officer myself, I have an opinion about what I think we can do in terms of taking good first steps in preventing these incidents from happening and how to possibly bridge the gap between the police and the black community. But first, let me hear your thoughts on how you feel about the recent events and your solutions to how to prevent these things from happening. So if you care to chime in on the discussion, feel free to call 347-850-8287. That's 347-850-87. Recent events of police brutality or the killing of black men in various communities around the country is really nothing new. It's been happening for the last several years in different parts of the United States. And one of the things that I always say is that police officers in America do not go to jail for killing black men. And it's a sad commentary, but it's true. The latest event was Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer Betty Shelby, who shot Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as he was walking towards his car and had his hands up. And she felt as though he was going to his car to get a gun and felt her life was in danger. And as he reached into the window, she didn't see a weapon. She shot him, and she killed that black man in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She just finished up her trial last week, and the result was a not guilty verdict. And, you know, because of that not guilty verdict, Betty Shelby is allowed to continue to be a police officer in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Most recently, Bow Springs former police officer Roy Oliver was arrested and terminated from the police department for killing 15-year-old Jordan Edwards, a young black boy who was coming from a party with his friends. And at first, Roy Oliver stated that the car that he was getting into was coming towards him, and he felt like his life was in danger. So as a result, he shot into the car and the bullet went through the head of that 15-year-old black boy and killed him. The body cam told a different story. The body cam told the story of or showed that the car was going away from him, and the result was that former police officer shot at that car as it was leaving him, and so in no way could he have felt that his life was in danger. And so he shot at the car. And again, the end result was a 15-year-old black boy being shot and killed by yet another police officer in another American city. Well, his trial probably will be coming up soon. And the jury is literally still out as to what will happen to him. My guess, they'll find a loophole to exonerate this police officer for killing this young black man. And, you know, the beat will go on. And one of the things that I say and will always say and continue to beat the drum is that until a police officer in the United States gets convicted and sentenced to time in prison, then police officers will continue to kill black men in America. Now, with the new attorney general being in office today, Jeff Sessions, and the new president of the United States, and we all know who he is, the flavor of criminal justice in this country has gone backwards. President Obama made some serious moves in terms of how to deal with mass incarceration in this country and, you know, try to look at criminal justice, him and Eric Holder, from a different perspective, and, you know, was moving towards trying to ease issue of mass incarceration and, particularly African-American men going to jail at a disproportionate rate. Just recently, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has just gave police officers and police departments around the country kind of carte blanche to kind of dial up, if you will, the issues of arrests, especially for people who are arrested for minor drug crimes. And with the three strikes, your outlaw, it's possible that for a third offense on a minor drug crime, you can do life in prison. So we're in some turbulent times here in terms of the criminal justice system in this country. As a former police officer, I have my own opinion about how we can prevent some of these incidents and how to bridge the gap between the black community and the police. And it's going to take some, I guess, patience, for lack of a better word, on both sides in terms of police departments getting to understand members of the black community and members of the black community getting to understand how police departments operate and who police officers are. So let me start by saying this. In a lot of neighborhoods around the country, and particularly in African-American neighborhoods, there's a cultural divide between white police officers and black citizens. We have a culture in this country that suggests that, you know, it's hard for people to understand how to, white police officers to understand the culture of black people. And so when you've never been around black people and you've grown up in pretty much all white communities and around all white people, and you have no cultural understanding of black people, and these people are different from you, then the way that you police them is certainly going to be different. The images that are portrayed in media, I'm sure the images that are shown in police academies are, in many cases, portraying African Americans as being thugs, criminals, superhuman, and, you know, it's situations like that that kind of are permeated in the mindset of police officers as they patrol our streets. And so when they have the occasion to run into African-Americans, and certainly they have that occasion on quite frequently, especially if they're patrolling in African-American communities, the way in which they handle people is a whole lot different. And it's based on their preconceived notions about who black people are and how they live and how they operate. Many of these police officers work in impoverished neighborhoods. These neighborhoods are, in a lot of cases, not too clean. They are a bit, to say the least, crime-ridden. People are poor. They don't have any money. And the way that officers look at them are different than the way that they look at their peers in their neighborhoods and situations that they come from. So obviously, when you're dealing with a person from that perspective, you're not going to give them a whole lot of respect in terms of, you know, how you communicate with them, how you interact with them, how you police them. And so the result in a lot of cases are negative. They're not good. This goes back to what I kind of always talk about as a former police trainer. Of recruits coming out of the academy and also veteran police officers in the classroom, of, you know, training police officers to understand the culture a lot better than they do. Of course, as police officers, you get training on how to operate a police vehicle, how to shoot your gun, how to defuse domestic situations, how to do vehicle and traffic stops, you know, how to basically operate and conduct yourself as a police officer while you're out in the field. What you don't get a whole lot of training in is the understanding of the culture to which you're going to be patrolling. And if you put your uniform on and a badge and a gun and you operate like a robot with no feelings and no kind of understanding of who the people are that you are policing, then it's very easy for you to do the things that we all have witnessed in the African-American communities by police officers who are not African-American. And so I think when you talk about placing people or placing new police officers, especially white police officers in African-American communities, you know, you have to spend an inordinate amount of time in training on trying to get these new police officers to better understand the culture to which they are going to be placed in. And in order for them to be better police officers, in order for them to be police officers that quote-unquote serve and protect, they have to have a better understanding of the culture in the neighborhoods in which they're policing. Without that, you're going to continue to get the results of police brutality and, at its extreme, people getting shot and killed by police officers in situations where maybe it could be handled in a different way. The second thing is, as a person who decides to take the job as a police officer, you cannot be afraid to go out there and do the job. You know, a person that is afraid is a very dangerous person. A person that's scared is a very dangerous person. You cannot go out with the attitude or the persona of, you know, every time I put this uniform on, I'm scared. And the only common denominator or the only thing that's going to keep it even between me and the people that I'm scared of is my weapon. And so if that is the first resort that you have to get to before you try to defuse situations in African-American community, then you have to take a step back and, in my opinion, be retrained. You cannot be scared. If you're scared, then that's not the job for you. The police officer's job is a very difficult, very stressful, very strenuous, and in a lot of cases, heroic kind of job. And so you have to be of the mindset, and you have to be the type of person who has the ability to be able to deal with all of that. Next, you have to be the type of police officer who has respect for your environment, respect for the community that you are policing. Bear in mind, it's not a we versus them kind of mentality. You're not placed in neighborhoods to be the chief executioner of people when they make mistakes. You're being placed in neighborhoods to basically protect people. You know, when people get in trouble and people have a problem and they have no other resort, the first thing they do is they call 911. And they call 911 because they expect police officers to show up at their house or show up at their locations to be able to help them, not to harm them. Of course, you have an element of people in the community that are out there committing crimes, and they need to be dealt with accordingly. But a large majority of the people who live in a community, whether it be an African-American community or a Latino community or an Asian community or a white community, for that matter, are not out there committing crimes. A small portion of the entire community are the people who are out there committing crimes. And unfortunately, as a police officer, those are the people that you have to deal with. But you have to bear in mind that the people, the 10% of 90% of the people who are out there committing crime, you should not equate the small percentage with the entire community. Everybody in the community is not a criminal. There is a small portion of the community that are doing people in the community that are committing criminal acts, but a large portion of the community are not criminals. So what's your thoughts? Give us a call. Let me know how you feel about how you're being policed in your community. Let me know about any particular incidents that you've had with police officers in the community. You can give us a call at 347-850-8287. That's 347-850-8287. You're listening to the new Rob's Rant Show live on Blog Talk Radio. And today we're talking about police in the black community, how police officers, and particularly white police officers, interact with members of the black community, how members of the black community interact with police. So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, it's I think sometimes in African community, African American community, we want to react to white police officers in a way that to some degree can be very stereotypical, and that all white police officers are racist and that they don't care about black people. All they want to do is lock us up. And in some cases that has happened, but that's not true in all cases. There are good white police officers out there that simply want to come out there and do the job and serve and protect in the way in which they were hired to do. And so just like you don't want police officers painting folks in the black community with a broad brush, I think it's only fair that members of the black community should not paint all police officers with a broad brush. And so your approach in the way in which you deal with police officers is just as important as the approach of how police officers deal with you. And you have to understand that just like you want them to understand that there's a cultural difference between how they were raised, who they socialized with, and how, you know, they were brought up, it's the same thing for them. And it's the same thing you have to understand about them. You know, and so you just can't, again, paint all white police officers with a broad brush. You kind of somewhere in side of you, dig down and understand their culture and understand where they come from and understand the fact that, you know, being in your community is something that's very new to them or can be. Dealing with people in your community is something that maybe they've never had to deal with in their entire life and is something that is kind of a culture shock for them. So maybe you need to take it upon yourself to try to indoctrinate people who come into your community and show them the way of how we live in our community as African Americans. Maybe it's important to you to take some time and desocialize some of these police officers and make them understand that all of us are not vicious, all of us are not criminals, all of us are not what the media has depicted us to be. We have lots of people in our community that are quote-unquote law-abiding citizens, very educated, very intelligent, very upstanding, want to have police in the community because they don't want to be victims of crime either. So maybe you need to take it upon yourself to try to, as you best can, educate some of the police officers that come through and try to police your community. So what do you think about that? Call in. Give me your opinion. Call in at 347-850-8287. We're talking about police in the black community and the interaction between police officers in the black community and, you know, how we as community members and how we as police officers need to bridge the gap between the cultural divide between police officers and folk in the community. I think I might have a caller online. Let me check in. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm just listening, bro. I just told you to get show. Just listening.
How you doing? Can you just identify what city you're calling from? Hello?
I said I'm calling.
So you just listening, you don't want to give a comment?
Man, I mean, I saw the title of your show. I just tuned in. I think it was like 8 minutes or something like that, so I just tuned in.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we're, again, talking about the relationship between police and the African-American community. And so I think I'm at the point now where I want to kind of talk about some of the solutions that we can come up with to try to prevent some of these things that are happening in our community and more importantly, to prevent folks from killing us, basically. You know, it seems like every month, every 2 months, we got a police officer killing a black man in this country. And, you know, this really has to stop. It's getting ridiculous. And so, again, as a former police officer myself, I think there are some possible solutions to try to prevent some of these things from happening. One of the things that I always talk about is I think police departments have to do a better job during their recruitment process. When they go out and they start to recruit folks who want to become police officers, in that initial phase, they have to look at people who are indicative of the communities in which they serve. You know, it's a lot easier to place people who understand each other in communities that are going to have to be responsible for enforcing the law. And so if I have a better understanding from a cultural standpoint as to who you are, how you grew up, where you came from, and I can relate to that, then it gives me a better opportunity to police you. It gives me a better opportunity to possibly prevent the crimes that occur in the community. And it certainly gives me a better opportunity to communicate with you on a level to which we both understand each other. So I think the hiring of police officers in African-American communities have to be reflective of the communities in which they serve. Secondly, I think once these folks get hired as police officers. You have to do a better job in training and put more of an emphasis on the cultural differences for which you're going to be facing once you get out there in the community and having to deal with people who are different than yourselves. I think more or too much or not enough, I should say, emphasis is placed on cultural training, and there is a lot more emphasis placed on kind of the day-to-day tactical operations of, you know, what you have to do and understand and how to be a police officer. And so a lot of what you do out in the street is going to be based on how you were trained. I know when I was out in the street, I always kind of relied on the things that I was taught in the police academy in addition to what I learned out there in the field while I was trying to do that job. I think another good solution may be to incorporate a community policing program, which means that police officers need to get out those police cars. And they need to walk a beat. And they need to get to know the people in the community that they are serving. And the best way to get to know the people in the community that you serve is to get out there and to talk to people. When you're sitting in that police officer, police car, and you're driving around in that beat or in that community, that police car is your shield between you and the people you are policing. Once you step outside of that police car and you start walking those blocks, you start walking in the neighborhood, people start to talk to you, you start to talk to other people, it's a different feel. It's a different kind of flavor in terms of people having maybe more trust in you and you maybe having more trust in them, because now we have bridged the gap of communication. We have a better understanding of each other. So community policing is certainly a great way to kind of break that barrier. I think police officers also need to get involved in community activities and community and school activities. There's too much, again, we versus them kind of mentality, and it shouldn't be that. The police, again, should be reflective of the community in which they serve, so they should become a part of the community. And the only way to become a part of the community is to get out in the community and participate in community activities. I think it would also be a great idea for police departments in African-American communities to sponsor sports teams, like baseball teams, basketball teams, football teams, provide those particular teams with maybe some financial assistance in terms of buying uniforms and sports equipment and being sponsors of those teams and having those teams wear the police logo to show the community that the police department is supportive of the positive things that folks are trying to do in the community, especially for our youth. And in addition to that, maybe adopt a team, become a coach, get out there and, you know, show these young people that the police are not bad people. Police are a part of the community. So those are some of my possible solutions as to what could happen with police departments and police officers in the African-American community. Well, if we get an opportunity to kind of do some of these things, then maybe, just maybe, some of these things in our community in terms of police brutality and killings will stop. This is Rob Bell, and this is the Rob's Rant Show live coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. And we thank you for your participation and your listening to our show. And we welcome you back next Sunday at 4 p.m. for another episode of Rob's Rant Live.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Damn.